today we're doing brachos daf dalet amud aleph. We left off on the, well, we sort of got on to the top of dalet amud aleph, but we're going to go back a little bit to Gimel amud beis. The Gemara is in the middle of dealing with the following question. David HaMelech apparently had the knowledge of exactly when Chatzos was, because he said that he would wake up every night at Chatzos. Chatzos layla akum lahodos lechal mishpatei tzidkecha. So apparently he knew exactly when Chatzos was. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu apparently did not know exactly when Chatzos was, because Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro there's going to be this makkah and it's going to be Chatzos alayla. Apparently, because Moshe Rabbeinu can't identify when Chatzos is. So hayitachem, could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know something and David HaMelech knows what Moshe doesn't know? So the Gemara's first answer was, yeah, that could be, because it could be that David HaMelech had developed the technology to figure out exactly when it's Chatzos by putting a harp above his bed, and he was able to tap into nature where the northern wind blows at exactly at Chatzos, and that was his alarm clock, and it woke him up. But once it was telling us that, how David HaMelech had this fancy alarm clock, it also told us what David HaMelech would do after he woke up. So what would he do after he woke up? For the rest of the night, he would... Well, according to this version, I think, for the rest of the night, he would learn. No, according to the previous version, according to this version, I think we're saying for the rest of the night, he would learn. And then comes morning time, and what would happen? People would come, and they would say, we've got a problem. What problem do we have? Money issues. So David's first advice is, okay, let the rich people support the poor people. And he said, they would tell him, Eina komitz mas b'yasari, Eina bornis mali mechul yaso. It's not going to work, there's just not enough. So David HaMelech said, okay, so let's go to war. But you can't just go to war, you got to get advice. So you have to go through three stages of advice. What were the three stages of advice? So stage number one is he would go get Eitza from someone who's able to devise a battle plan. Stage number two is he'd go to the Sanhedrin, and of what purpose? To go to the Sanhedrin for what? To daven for him. And stage number three is that he would go to the Urim V'Tumim, go to the Kohen Gadol. So let's just pick up again from the Pasuk, 2 lines from the bottom of the page on Gimel Amud Beis. Va'achrei Achitofel ben Ayo ben Yoyada, ve'ev Yasar v'sar tzvel le'melech Yoav. So in that Pasuk we see all three stages, because Achitofel ze Yoetz. Achitofel is the one who devises the plan. V'cheinu Omer, va'atzas Achitofel asher ya'atz b'yamim mehem kasher yishal b'dvar elukim. And Achitofel is the one who would always devise the plans when we needed to know what to do. Binayo ben Yoyada, the Pasuk went on to talk about going to Binayahu. What was the point of that? Ze Sanhedrin. Binayo ben Yoyada is symbolic of the Sanhedrin. Why is he symbolic of the Sanhedrin? Top Rashi, Shahaya Av Beis Din, because that was his job. He was the Av Beis Din. And then the Ev Yasar, Elu Urim V'Tumim. Ev Yasar is a reference to the Urim V'Tumim. Because Ev Yasar was the Kohen Gadol, so he was the one that David HaMelech would always go to ask about wars, at least up until the time of Avshalom's rebellion, Rashi points out. And after that, it was Tzadok, but until that time, it was Ev Yasar. V'cheinu Omer Uvnayo Ben Yoyada Ala Kresi V'Al HaPlesi. That Binayo ben Yoyada was al hakresi v'al haplesi. Binayo ben Yoyada was the Sanhedrin, and Avyasar was the Kohen Gadol. Lama nikra shemam kresi uplesi. Why are they called a kresi uplesi? Kresi shekorsim divrehem, plesi shemuflaim bidivrehem. Meaning, apparently, we're saying that this is a reference to what? The kresi uplesi now is a reference. To the Urim V'Tumim, that they give exact instructions, and they're Muflam B'Divrayim, and it's wondrous what they do. V'achar kach sar tzvel l'melech Yoav, and then they would go to the generals, and it's time to fight the war. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Adav Armila, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bered Ravidi, Mai Kura. What's the pasuk that says that this is true? That what is true? Says Rashi, Mai Kura. Going back to the alarm clock. We're still stuck on the alarm clock. Okay, nice idea about how we would learn and get all this advice. But wow, what an alarm clock. Well, where's the pasuk that tells us that we would have that? So, ura kvodi ura. And what's the next words? It starts describing musical instruments. What do musical instruments have to do with waking up? So, ura kvodi ura, hanevel v'chinor a'ira shachar. So, apparently, musical instruments played a role in David HaMelech being able to wake up so bright and early. Rabbi Zeira says a little bit differently. Moshe li'olam hava yada, v'David nami hava yada. All of that, everything we had until this point, was one answer to the question of how could it be that Moshe didn't know something and David did. And the answer was, okay, Moshe didn't know and David did because David developed the technology with which to know. Now we're taking a different approach and we're saying, who said Moshe didn't know? Moshe also knew. David knew. Moshe knew. They both knew how to calculate exactly chatzos. V'kivin to David aviyada kinar lamalei. But wait, if David knew when chatzos was, if he had this knowledge inherently, why did he need the wake up the alarm clock? Because you may be able to have the scientific knowledge to know when chatzos is, doesn't mean you're going to have the ability to wake up. You still need an alarm clock to wake you up, so it was very helpful to wake him up at that time. But if Moshe knew, then why did Moshe tell Paro, ki chatzos? Moshe should have said, at chatzos, bi chatzos. So to that, the Gemara has two explanations. Number one, Moshe kasavar shemi yitu itztagnine Paro. He was afraid, not that he would mess up, he knew how to calculate chatzos, but he was afraid that Paro's itztagninim, his experts, were going to mess up in determining the time themselves. V'yomru, and they're going to say, when Makas Bukonos happens on their cheshbin at 12:01 or at 11:59, and not at 12 o'clock, they're going to say, ah, Moshe Badayihu, you see, Moshe's a joke. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He said that this was going to happen at Chatzos, that miraculously every firstborn in every household is going to die. And look at that, it happened at 12:01. So I guess he doesn't know what he's talking about. Damar Mar, Lamad Lashon Cholomer in Yodea, Shemetis Bad Vitechas. It's a good idea to say, I don't know, because it could be that that people won't take you seriously if what you say doesn't actually happen. So it's a good idea to get used to saying, I don't know, because sometimes you're going to be chapped on not having something accurate. So Moshe knew, but he thought that it's Tagnine Paro were going to question his expertise and his authority and his shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it happens at a time that's a minute or two off, which is astonishing. If someone predicts that a makkah like that is going to happen and every detail of it comes true exactly as he says, except it happens a minute later than you expected it to happen or a minute earlier than you expected it to happen, and they're going to say, oh, you see, he's a joke, he's not really a shliach of God. But that's the power of a person's desire to be right and desire to justify our whole way of life. If we find any hole, any possibility, anything that we could justify ourselves with, we do. So that's what Moshe was worried about. Rav Ashi Amar, Bipalgo Urta Detlesar Nagyar Besar Havi, Havi Kai. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking the midnight of the previous day. V'hachi Katmar Moshe Yisrael. Moshe was telling the Jewish people as follows. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem says, L'machar kechatzos halayla kia idna. Tomorrow, when it's exactly like this time now, but tomorrow, ani yotzei b'toch Mitzrayim. That's when he's going to go and do Makas B'choro. So why did he say kechatzos? Because not because he couldn't get it accurately. What he was saying was, look at what time it is now, like this time tomorrow, it's going to happen. So we were in the middle of the main point at the bottom, right? How could it be that Moshe didn't know something that David did know? So answer number one is that David had an alarm clock. Answer number two is Moshe did know, and he said kichatzos either because he was afraid of the itztagnine paro, or was the other possible reason why he could have said kichatzos? Like this time tomorrow. He was speaking to them 24 hours previous to that. Good, so we are at the two dots, three lines into the wide lines. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Says the Gemara, L'David, Shamra nafshi ki chasid ana. That David HaMelech says, ooh, you should protect me because I am a chasid. Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak each had an opinion about what this means. Chad Omer, one of them explains, Kach Omer Dov Shnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David was saying to Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam, Lo Chasrani, Shekol Malkei Mizrach Umarav Yeshedim at Shalosh Shos, aren't I a chassid? Look at what other kings do. All the other kings, to the east and to the west, they sleep until 3 hours into the day. V'ani chatzos laila akum lehodos lecha. And I wake up at midnight to give hodaah to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look at what a chassid I am. Pat in the back. I'm great. The idach, and the other one says, no, kach amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David was saying. Ribono shel olam, lo chasidani shekal malchei mizrach yoshvim agudos agudos bikvodam. All the other kings like to get together with their fancy friends and having all this honor given to them, and they're just enjoying the glory that comes their way. Va'ani, but you know what I do all day, David says? Yaday meluchlachos bidam ubishvir ubishilya. My hands are dirtied with blood and with placenta and with afterbirth kedei letar isha labayla, in order to paskin complicated hilchas nida shaylas and hilchas yoledes shaylas to determine whether a woman is pure to be able to be with her husband. Not just to determine, but with an angle to want to be metahir, to allow a woman to be with her husband. So essentially, everyone else is taking. All the other kings are just sitting there basking in the glory that others are giving them. And David HaMelech is serving. He's serving the community. He's serving the Jewish people. That's chasidus. V'lo od. And not only that, but there's a third thing. El kol ma shani osa ani nimlach b'mifiboshas rabbi. Anything that I do, I always consult with my Rebbe Mifiboshes first. Va'omer lo Mifiboshes Rebbe, Yafa danti, Yafa chiyafti, Yafa zechisi, Yafa tiarti, Yafa timesi. And Mifiboshes says, and I say to Mifiboshes, did I do right? Did I judge the case right? Did I make this guy chayiv or zakai correctly? I would consult him on everything. And I was never embarrassed about that. I was never embarrassed that I was expressing a lack of independence in any way, that I was too needy, that I wasn't that I wasn't qualified enough to deal with it on my own. There's a Gemara later on in the Masechta, I think somewhere, that says that someone who's not embarrassed to go in front of his Rebbe is going to be zocha to be able to paskin and tumentara, something like that. It says mamash, like these two things that go hand in hand. That a person who's willing to take a reprimand from his Rebbe is going to be zocha to understand Tumen Taira. So that's the two things of David. So essentially, what do we have so far? David HaMelech is a chassid in three ways. Three ways. I guess we'll make that a main point here. David called himself a chassid, but there were three reasons, three things that made him a chassid. A, he woke up really early, while all the other kings were far shluffin. B, he got his hands dirty paskening halachos while everyone else was just enjoying basking in their own glory. And C, he was mevayish himself to Mephibosheth, his Rebbe. Good. Amar Rav Yishob Reid Ravidi, Mikra, what's the pasuk that teaches that this is so? What is so? Is there a Rashi on this one? No, so we'll have to figure it out. V'adabra be'idosecha neged melachim v'lo evosh. Okay, so it's clear what it is. That I'm going to speak about your Torah by in front of kings, and I won't be embarrassed. Melachim arman malki rabbim, in front of great Talmid Chachamim, and that even a king is not going to be embarrassed going to a Talmid Chacham and accepting his psak. Tana lo Mephibosheth shmo el Ishbosheth shmo. His name was actually not Mephibosheth. His real name was Ishbosheth. V'lo menekra shmo Mephibosheth. Why was he called Mephibosheth? Shayim mevayish pnei David ba'alacha. It's like an acronym for mevayish pnei. He was mevayish pnei David. He would embarrass David in halacha. So that's why they would call him Mephibosheth. Lefichach, because David took that embarrassment. Zacha David v'yatzim menu kilav. David was Zocha to have kilav descend from, come from him. V'amar b'yachon lo kilav shemo. His name wasn't even really kilav, ela Daniel shemo. His name was Daniel. V'lama nikra shemo kilav. Why was he called kilav? Sheyam machlin p'nei mefiboshes b'alacha. He was so brilliant, he would make mefiboshes look bad in halacha. V'alav amar shlomo v'chachmasan. It's about him that Shlomo says, b'ni im chacham libech yismach libi gamani. Va'omer, chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'ashiv v'charfei davar. That he was this very great chacham, and that's what the theme of these psukim is. This great chacham that he had, that he could respond to the embarrassment that his father had as being the ultimate vindication for his father. V'david mi kari l'nafshei chassid. So ask the Gemara, wait, back up a second. We went through three possibilities of what David was showing off about, that he's a chassid. Why is David showing off that he's a chassid at all? Most chassidim don't go showing off that they are chassidim. That's usually a disqualifier right off the bat for making you a chassid if you're running around telling everyone what a chassid you are. Especially Vaksiv, the pasuk says, "Lulei amati liros b'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim." If only I would be zochet to see the tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. V'tanim mishmeid Rabbi Yosi, lama nokad al lulei. Why are there dots on top of lulei? Amr David v'nei Kodesh Baruch Hu, David would say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Muftach ani bach she'ata mishalim schar tov l'tzadikim l'asod avel. I know, Hashem, that you give great schar to tzadikim in the future. Aval eini yodea im yesh li chelek b'nehem im lav. But I have no idea whether I have a chelek with them or not. So big fat question mark. What's the question? On the one hand, we say David's always bragging, telling Hashem, I am a great chassid. And yet on the other end, David's saying, you know, I don't even know if I'm going to Olam Haba. Well, if you really believe you're a chassid, you should be going to Olam Haba. So did David believe himself to be a chassid, or did he not believe himself to be a chassid? Answers the Gemara, Shema Yigrom Achet, that he was afraid maybe his Avera did him in. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Shema Yigrom Achet, on the fourth wide line of Rashi, Terutzuhu. This is an answer. Li'olam muchsak biyadoshu chassid. He knew that he was a chassid. He knew that his behavior as a king who served the people and who served Hashem and who woke up early and who did all these things, he knew that qualifies him as a chassid. The fact that he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to see Olam Haba, l'fishayyari shami yachtav yigram achet milaros petuv. He was afraid of his sin. What sin are we likely talking about? Sin of Bathsheba. He was afraid that that would do him in, and that he wasn't going to be able to experience Olam Haba. Where do we find that this is the derech of tzaddikim, that people sometimes are concerned, Shema Yigrom Achet? We have three examples of this. David is only one example. K'Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, like Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Rami, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi asked the following contradiction. K'siv, on the one hand, we have a pasuk that says, V'yinei anochi imachu shmarticha b'chol asher telech. God promises Yaakov, don't worry, in your travels, when you leave your father's house and you go to the Beis Lavan, I'm going to be with you and I will protect you, I will guard you, everything's going to be fine. Uksiv, and when you encounter Esav, I will be with you, I'm always going to protect you. Uksiv, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. And the pasuk says that Yaakov was afraid of greeting Esav, of meeting Esav. What did he do to prepare because of that? What's the other half of the pasuk? He divided up his group into parts in case Esav gets to one of them, the other will escape. What are you afraid of? Hashem promised. Hashem said everything's going to be okay. So why was he afraid? Amar, because he too said, Shema Yigrom Achet, that maybe the Avera did him in. Now, with Yaakov, it's not as clear what the Avera is. Right, meaning with David it was a little clearer, but with Yaakov it's not as clear what the Avera is. But what is the possibility? What? No. I mean, the being afraid is the Avera that he was afraid of. That's a little circular, no? It may have been being away from the midst of Kibbut Aveim for all that time. Right, that he failed in his keeping of aim for all the time. May have been not. Maybe he just stumped, didn't have confidence that he didn't do some sort of sin along the way. So Yaakov was also afraid. Shemi Yigrom Achet. The famous kasha that they ask on this is not on this. They ask on the Rambam based on this Gemara. The Rambam writes in Shmona Prakim, which is commentary to Pirkei Avos, that if a person wants to be a Navi, you got to be pretty good. You can't, you know, like you can't just decide to be a Navi. Like you can't just like major in Navius in college and like become a Navi. So you have to have certain prerequisites, Rambam says. So for example, prerequisites include you have to be very intelligent, but you also have to have very, very good midos. You have to have all the qualities. You don't have to be perfect, the Rambam says, but you should be humble, and you should be generous, and you should have tremendous emunah and bitachon. Perfect? No, we can't ask for perfection, because people aren't perfect. And the Rambam says, my proof that you don't have to be perfect is that Yaakov was a Navi, and Yaakov didn't have perfect bitachon, because Yaakov was afraid of Esav. So you see that he didn't have perfect bitachon. So the kasha they all ask on the Rambam is, it's a great kasha, how Yaakov is allowed to lack bitachon, but the Gemara asked that kasha already. And the Gemara answered, Shem Yigro Machet, and apparently that's in bounds. You're allowed to be concerned, Shem Yigro Machet. So how's that a riot to anything? The Gemara already answered that kasha. So that's the kasha they ask on the Rambam. So there's a whole Torah in that. Rav Chanan has a whole Torah in that. Says Mar Kittitanya, we have a Raisa. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Am Zukanisa. Ad Yavaram Hashem Zubia Rishona, Ad Yavaram Zukanisa Zubia Shnia. That when the Bia Rishona Bia Shnia, referring to when the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael the first time in the days of Yeshua, and the second time in the days of Ezra. So we learn Mikana Racham Ruim Ha Yisrael Le Asos Le Neis Bimei Ezra, that Kederach Shnaslem Bimei Yeshua Bin Nun Ela Shagar Machet, that the Jewish people deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael miraculously the second time around after Golus Bavel in the days of Ezra, the way they did the first time around with the Yarden splitting in the days of Yahushua, but Gara Machet, but because of their Averos, it didn't work out. So what do you see? That Gara Machet is an actual concern, that it's a real thing that happens. So Yaakov is justified in being concerned of Gara Machet, and David is justified in being concerned of Gara Machet, because it's an actual thing that happens. What happened in the days of Ezra? The return of the Jewish people after the days after Golus Bavel. What was bad about that? Yeah, that most people didn't return, and the people who did return mostly did so because they didn't have much going on for them in Bavel. So they came because they had nothing to lose. They had the Donald Trump slogan for African Americans: "You have nothing to lose, so you might as well." So that was their that's why they came back to Eretz Yisrael. But there was no inherent reason to go back to Eretz Yisrael, just like there's no inherent reason for a black person to vote for Donald Trump, right? There was nothing compelling about it. It was just nothing to lose, and that's a terrible black eye in Jewish history that the Jewish people don't come back to Eretz Yisrael. So last main point over here: three instances of fear, Shem Yigro Machet. Actually, two instances of Shem Yigro Machet and one instance of actual Gara Machet. One was David worried about his Olam Haba, even though he was a chassid. Second is Yaakov worried for his safety from Esav, even though Hashem promised everything would be fine. And third is, we see Klal Yisrael lost out on miracles because Gara Machet. Okay, so take the time now to Chazer. If you